According to some research by Bev Scott, our producer, the majority of people rely on TV for their news. But the interesting fact was that the audience were very frustrated with the commercial radio stations because of the lack of local news, even if it's a local station. So we at CKVS, Voice of the Shuswap, The Voice, we're going to try and change all that. It may take us a bit of time because we have to get some reporters and some people lined up taking our courses, and we'll do it, I'm sure. Just before I get to my guest, one quote. This is from Peter Downey, Fresh Air. He wrote, it's called The Private Thoughts of a Public Broadcaster, 1997. And I've changed it a little bit for our purposes, but I quote, "There is one profound truth about radio. Regardless of all the modern pressures and forces brought to bear upon it, whether it's the sockeye salmon run on the Adams River, or a forest fire in Notch Hill, or a blinding snowstorm on the Trans-Canada Highway, there is nothing, nothing to match that feeling of attachment to a community that only comes, like magic, through listening to local radio." And I have a guest who has something to say about radio, I think, community radio. His name is Warren Welter. He moved to Salmon Arm in April of 2000 from San Francisco. He likes us better, I think. We'll see. In the summer of 2001, he opened an outdoor food cart on the busy corner of Alexander and Hudson. Maybe you remember that. He wanted to get to know the people of his new home. In 2003, he got involved with the Salmon Arm Centennial, the steering committee, and it was led by him, co-chairs, him and Louise Wallace Richmond, and Doug Lagore as secretary, and Alan Finch as treasurer. I'm sure many of you remember the centennial of 2003, Salmon Arm Centennial. His current business is called Creatability. It's an environmental and graphic design firm. Warren Welter, welcome.
Well, thank you, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here again. A quick correction, it was 2005. We started the office in 2003 to prepare, and in 2005 was the actual centennial date.
Well, I must thank you for that. Thanks for that correction.
And another correction, too. I referred to myself as a mobile concessionaire. I didn't have a food cart. I like the loftier.
A mobile concessionaire. Okay.
Yes.
So you got here long before community radio, but so you got to tell me what brought you to Salmon Arm.
Well, it was just a change in environment. It was an adventure that I wanted to go on, and I was willing to abandon my active design profession in San Francisco, and I became what I refer to as an urban renegade. I arrived here in town and not really knowing what was going to happen and how. I did run my office for a few years. I was on a jet every other month going down to San Francisco and working with my staff, and that came to an end in 3 years. I just couldn't do it anymore. Because I was operating the mobile concessionaire operation on the corner, and then had to just give that up. But I'm here now, and it's a fully embrace. I haven't looked back. I often refer to this experience as I'm living the dream I never knew I had.
I like it. So you came to Salmon Arm, and you just couldn't stay away. What are some of the things that kept you here, like...
Is it the local intimacy? It is the climate, because I came from San Francisco, or the Bay Area, as they call it, where there's really only two seasons. It's green and brown, wet and dry. It didn't have the four very distinct seasons that we have here in the Shuswap. And it's something I really wanted to return to. I grew up in the East Coast of Connecticut, or not the East Coast, United States in Connecticut, and I was trying to recreate that youthful experience I had. And this just seemed a wonderful place, and because the seasons aren't as harsh as some of the other areas in Canada.
Yeah, and it does attract a lot of people, and especially a lot of people from the States. I can think of quite a number of people that are originally and been here for a long time. But tell me, because in the material you sent me, you mentioned Bruce Mao and his Manifest for Change, I think you called it. Tell me just a little bit about him and how he influenced you.
Well, it was his manifest. It's 43 points that just deliver insightful ways to navigate your life in this world. And that's something that I found inspirational. It was, it's easy to just copy someone else's effort, and he came up with it, and this was in the late 90s, and I just thought, wow, I'll just copy this, keep it posted, and keep it around me and refer to it. And I've been passing that manifest around to various organizations here in town. Most of the community organizations, they're going to start appearing, and I've been hearing back. I did send it to all the counselors and did hear back for three or four of them, and then thanked me for that, because they're just give you some insightful things. And it's an easy find if you just Google, as you said earlier. I know you mentioned you got a smartphone, but you didn't tell them that it was operated by a challenged operator.
a technically challenged operator. Yes.
But if you do, it's Bruce Mau, M-A-U, and it's the Manifest for Change. And I encourage everyone to just get a copy of it and print it out and keep it around as a reference material.
Yeah, I'm gonna when I get some time, I do want to Google it myself. Okay, so let's get back to Warren Welter. What are some of the projects that you were involved in Salmon Arm? Just a few.
Well, yeah, it started with the Centennial, and shortly after that, we were lucky enough, Louise and I, to be gifted the space that we had created for the Centennial office, and we turned it into our commercial space. I have creativity, and she still has mediability. The first project was one up on the hill there where I converted I think it was a racquetball court, and it became Jungle Mania. Then I moved on and worked on the back of the Salmar, the reel that you see there.
Well,
the
that's
graphic.
Your creation. Yes,
and it was actually a graphic application that 2D molds itself into a 3D, that film reel that extends out the top.
Yeah.
Then I worked. Yeah. I did the sculptures over in the corner of the credit union, where they used to have a clock tower there. When they renovated, I approached the CEO, Michael Wagner, and said, why don't we do something different there and maybe start on a community environmental art or community art, public art situation. And he said, fine, make a presentation to the board, which I did, and they accepted it. And
tell me,
sculpture.
Because a lot of people ask me, tell me what that represents, because I believe it goes back to the founding of Salmon Arm or some of the early...
No, the founding of the credit union.
Of the credit union.
Yes,
sorry.
It's a representational of I call it artistic, but it really was almost a commercial project because I was delivered a criteria to fulfill. The stems going up to the apples represent the five original board of directors. The apple, of course, represented that it used to be an orchard.
Yeah.
And then at the very bottom, you've got the tractor seats that are leafs, that are intended to be a leafs, and the tractor seats, and those are the 14 original members. So you had the 14, the 7, and the apple orchard.
Yeah, wasn't it called the Farmers, the first credit union?
The Safe House. Yeah, oh. So the Salmon Arm Farmers Exchange.
The Farmers Exchange, yeah.
Yes, that's
yeah.
What I recall.
And apples played a very important role in the early settlers of this area.
Oh, yes, very important role, yeah.
Okay, well, you've obviously done some work around here, and you've been here now for, what, 14 years since 2001? Or no, 15?
15, yeah. It'll
wow.
Be 16 years in April.
Okay. Now, by the time 2005 rolled around and you were busy doing other things, I think I saw 2008, 2009, and then about 2010 or when was it, 2011, when you heard about this voice of the Shuswap project, what prompted your interest in this project?
Well, I immediately took hold of it, and I think I went over to the Diolithan Church and felt compelled to participate, bought a few memberships or helped people buy or supplemented some memberships, and then shortly after that I became a founding member and put some money into that, which I think there were 20 of us at that time.
Founding sponsors.
Founding sponsors, excuse me.
Yeah, you were, and that's very important because, as I said, I think it's still on. It still plays at noon, where we pay tribute to our founding sponsors at noon, and one of the things that I said in my little blurb is that you showed confidence in this project before we were even on the air.
Yep.
Now, that's saying something.
Well, I just saw this as a potential gift to this community. Having a community radio station in this environment of only now 17,000 inhabitants, I thought, yes, what a gift it would be to have a community radio stations and build on the talents of all that exist here. I mean, when I think of when I first came, of all the 60-plus sort of registered groups, creative groups that were formed, writers, artists, potters, photographers. They all seemed to have their own groups meeting regularly, and I thought the radio would be a great time to keep that open dialogue and forum on the air so people can connect to it, kind of become a radio bulletin board.
Yeah. Let's get back to this, the gift to Salmon Arm. I hold that thought. You were just listening to Warren Welter, my guest. He's definitely a native now of Salmon Arm, but he came here in about 2000 from San Francisco. He's my guest. We're talking about community radio. We're talking about radio tonight. You mentioned the word gift to Salmon Arm, this radio station. I think that's kind of a nice way of putting it. But do you think the population in general of this area knows about this gift, this radio station? Do you think enough people know?
That should be our initiative to get it out there and promote it the best we can. We've had the concert series. We've had two fundraisers. I think the word on the street is out there. I did drive in a parade 2 years ago with Ed Murdoch. We had a float in the Fall Fair parade. I think the word's out there. As I talk to people, they all seem to are fully aware of the community radio station. So I think we're moving down that road. I was part of a delegation at City Council, and they're all very much aware of it.
That's good.
So we're building momentum. We are moving into our fourth year, I think, this December, right?
Well, December the 10th, I think. We started broadcasting, December the 10th, 2012. And so this will be we'll finish three years.
Yep.
Yeah. We'll be entering into our fourth year. On December the 10th, which is just like a couple of days here from now.
Yes.
Today's the 8th.
Yes, yep.
So we should.
It's an anniversary.
Yeah, it's an anniversary. We should actually have a big bash, but people are kind of busy now.
With Christmas, yes.
Christmas, I think.
Yeah.
But you mentioned, so you figure that the wider community is really hearing more and more about it, but there's lots we can do. There are more things we can do to make our voice heard, shall
yes.
we say, or to, but you, one of the things you, it was something about seeing, no, hearing what you see. Tell me about that.
Oh, it's something that I've been working on years because of my professional aspirations. It was called the visual voice.
The visual voice.
The visual voice, and it's listening to what you see. And to me, that's a very important aspect of life. As you look around, you're always absorbing things, you're bringing it in, and then there's this little voice that's talking to you as you see things. It's almost dictating. Your mind is running around, and it's dictating to you. And it's something I call, it's a voice. It can be a whisper, it can be just a voice, or it could be a loud yell. And sometimes you'll see something happening, and it just screams at you, and it makes you react. The hair goes up in your neck, or you can respond.
There is an emotional response.
Yes, it does. It definitely creates an emotional response. And I find out that whispering sometimes works the best, because when you whisper, people come in close to hear what you're saying.
Yeah, very true. I'm not very good at whispering. Just ask a few people.
Neither am I. I've been told I'm very loud.
Well, you can't be as loud as me. I get myself in more trouble. We won't go there. But I'm learning. I'm learning how to whisper, and I think you're on to something. But let's get back to talking a little bit more about this station. Do you think that the programming, which you're aware of, represents the broader community? You've seen, I meant to bring in a whole, I can see actually the board through the window here, or the door, and I can get a good feel for all the different types of music programs and some spoken word, First Nations. Rick Robinson has his program, The Dark Lighter Show.
Mm-hmm.
Rick is a well-known individual around Salmon Arm.
Yes.
What else? We have The Morning Show. I mean, those guys are pros. One thing that may be lacking, what do you think? You tell me, what do you think we need to do?
Well, that's interesting. One of the questions that we had mentioned here was, has radio in general, is it seen its best days? Is it on the wane? And I just kind of thought about it, and I was thinking that, back in the 50s, when it was thought TV kind of launched into the community, and everyone thought that was going to put an end to the radio, and it would just disappear. But then into the 60s, television became a major part of our lives, and Now, you know that if it was part of my life then, you know my age. So we can move on and then say, okay, what would happen to radio? Would it survive? Well, it did, and it got bigger. And part of it, because radio connects the world in a way that television doesn't. And that's something that here we have the talk shows, you got the call-in, you have the music, you mentioned Rick, and the diversity that we have. And because of that, there's always a station broadcasting something you can meet your niche. So you're always scanning the radio. You push your button, you listen, you decide if you're going to hang on to it or you move on. And I think the diversity right now at this station is well-rounded. We could always use more.
Yep.
And I'll make a pitch now. We could always use more sponsors. And I think we're 21 shows right now, and maybe we have 8 sponsors.
Yeah, 8 or 10, I think, yeah.
So, I mean, I think when I first started getting connected, I said, okay, we need 50 shows and 50 sponsors. And then we could be self-sustaining through that income stream. And yeah. I think that's an important thing to consider. So, yes, I think the mandate for the radio station when it was incepted was, yes, we got to have all the connected or have all the voices. And, you know, you've got the Mary Thomas show and you've got Rick's show of the Dark Side and you've got this show right now, which Core of the Matter. And I think tonight we can refer to it as Chit and Chat. I don't know if you'll be Chit or I'll be Chat or how it's going to
well,
be.
Well, we could change the name anytime you want. Yeah. But yeah. Or no, let's start another one. You can start another show. I'll come on. Chit and Chat. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. So there you go. Now I just need a sponsor. So there is a call-in line if anyone wants to sponsor my show that hasn't even been started.
Okay. And if you want to sponsor Warren Welter, the number to call right now, ladies and gentlemen, don't lose time. Get on the phone. It's 250-463-5026. Call the office. Jeanette is here, our station manager. And if you just don't have time to make the call, then get on the Bushy says, the interweb. Get on the internet there. Get on your email and send us a message to dj@voiceoftheshuswap.ca. That's dj@voiceoftheshuswap.ca. Or you could send a message to Jeanette. And that just goes to info@voiceoftheshuswap.ca. But, Warren, you're onto some really interesting stuff here, like radio. Everybody thought it was gone, but what about local news and information? Is that something that a community radio station can compete with, let's say, commercial radio? Do you think we can compete? I don't want to call it competing.
Kind of,
that's
no,
not the
competing.
Word.
It's not the word choice. Competing. It's a choice. And, you know, when you look at statements, you often abbreviate and you call community radio CR and commercial radio. Well, they're both CR. So we're both on a similar platform of communication waves. The difference, in my opinion, is that, you know, community radio is driven by an effort to deliver conscientious content to its listeners. Commercial radio is driven by a model to generate profit. Now, I'm not saying profit's bad or evil or anything, but it's just a different form. And, you know, I can talk about the mandate of community radio.
Yeah, according to the CRTC, I think you have that information. There's some interesting stuff in there. Do you want to just give me a taste of what they're saying with respect to community radio?
They're different in both style, substance and style from community, which means that it may sound different. It's airing different music. It has interviews, news. Local news is the important part. And, you know, part of this can also expand into emergency news broadcast.
Yes.
I mean, if there's a terrible event that happens in town, this can be the communication network to help with the emergency efforts. And it's also another important, too, is that it's not the word just community. It needs to be expanded to hyphenated word. It needs to be community-owned. Because that's the important part. It's owned by you. The folks who are listening to the station or this broadcast right now, you own this show. You own everything that's here.
The local people of Salmon Arm own this radio station. It cannot be bought by some large chain or something, right?
That's absolutely correct. And that's the advantage we have. And, you know, we're all reviewed. There's a criteria that we have to follow before you can go on the air. You've all taken the radio broadcast course.
The radio skills course,
Skills course, which I did. And we encourage people to do that and to come on the air, get your show, think about it. And I bump into people all the time and encourage them to create even a half-hour show or a full-hour show. You know, it requires maybe 4 to 5, 6 hours of work preparation, but it's well worth it in the end.
Yeah, and there's always collaborators available to work collaborators and people to work with you.
Mentor, yeah.
You
can
mentor
shadow.
Yeah, yeah.
You can shadow. You can come in and come into this show and shadow you for a while, watch you, see what it's like, get a feel for it.
And yeah, and if you look at this program you want to produce, then somebody can help you get it going and collaborate with you. And then, you know, as you say, it could become chit and chat.
Yes.
But yep. I think there's one of the things that was expressed to me was, you know, when you hit the dial and you tune in the voice of the shoot 93.7, you never know what you might get if you don't have the. And it's a lot different than some commercial radio stations where the music gets repeated over and over again because they're targeting a certain demographic, mm-hmm. whereas we're targeting the whole community.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's good because what you do here on this hour show, you're only going to hear two more times, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank some people.
It's not rotated through, and you're hearing it over and over again.
No, that's right. Yeah, no, but you can hear it again on Friday at 8 p.m., and again on Sunday at 11 a.m. Okay, here's a question for you, though, just before we go to another quick break.
Is this going to be a trick one?
No, this is a straightforward, bit of a tricky one. Does the voice need some balance? What do you think? I need to know what you think of our programming. Do you think we need some more different voices?
Wow, that's the voices are great. I mean, and that's part of what community radio should be is voice and dialogue. And as I said, you know, end this banter of connections. And you know, there's another statement out there that I heard one time: the most important thing in communication is hearing what isn't said.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you don't want dead air, but you keep it and you listen, and it's for a discerning audience. So I think that the current programming is there's always. I mean, I don't want to be common, be critical of it, but yes, there's always room for improvement, and that's what we want to get from not me, but the listening audience. I think that there has to be an active call and participation to the station manager and start to assemble what will be the future direction. And so I encourage everyone to participate. Board recruitment would be a good aspect of developing a more widely connected base for connectivity. I did support, and I keep saying this, that the station IDs right now, I always get a little twingle when I hear people, voices, you know, identifying the station ID. You know, calling it CKVS 93.7 on the dial. And
station IDs.
Hi, I'm Sherry. Hi, I'm Bob. Hi. And to me, that's was one of my goals when I first came on board.
You were right in there during the Roots and Blues. And the fair, too, weren't you? We were collecting.
Costing everyone who's walking by to get.
Yeah, because you're a big guy and you can get in their way.
Well, I don't quite look at it like that. Well, and I would say, I can't do it. And I said, there's no such thing as voice fright. You can be stage fright, but you can't. There's no such thing.
You're just talking into this
radio
thing here,
fright. Yeah, it's just the microphone. And yes, no one's going to see you. And we can always edit out any little fumbles. That's important because that was something that I was part of as a co-chair of the Centennial. The city came up with 15,000 trees, and that was to be planted all around the community in honor of the 15,000 residents of Salmon Arm. So my goal was to get everyone in Salmon Arm's voice on the air.
Well,
that would connect them. I mean, it's true, because if you're listening to radio and you hear your voice say, "Hi, I'm Warren, this is CKVS," you're part of it.
You
got some skin in the game, as they say.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Well, we're going to come back to that, and we're going to talk about, I want to talk about the broadcasters a little bit and how we can make CKVS a little bit better, maybe. And I'm very fortunate this evening to have with me Warren Welter, one of our original founding sponsors, a real strong promoter of community radio and of Salmon Arm with all the work that he has done since he's been here. We're talking community radio. I think it's kind of interesting because I asked Warren from his perspective. This is his business, was promotions and design. So I asked him just before the break, or at least I was going to, how we could make CKVS better and make it more attractive to a wider community. So before we get into some more specifics, Warren, generally, what do you think we could do? Do you think we can do anything to make it better?
Better is a kind of a different word, but I say what I call might refer to it as an opportunity for improvement.
Yeah, okay.
And an opportunity for improvement to me would be to really reach out to the youth of Salmon Arm and go after the high school. I know you've got Okanagan College, but to encourage that sort of a developing age group. There was someone on Ed Murdoch's show right now. I think he's a senior at SAS.
That's right. Chad Baker is interested in our. Yeah.
Yes, you did have who was the fellow before doing some of the
Dylan Dodge.
Dylan Dodge. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, he was an understudy too. He did. Yes. He's doing very well in Calgary.
Yes. So I think there definitely needs to be a youthful infusion to connect with that, and I think radio could really be an opportunity for future advancement in employment. I don't think this industry is going to go by the wayside. I think communication networks are still going to happen. To me, it's an employment opportunity, and it'll provide for that.
Yeah.
As they say, it's training someone who would like to be in a broadcaster.
Yes. You mentioned youth, and you talked about it, and that there is something that I was told that some of the students can come here, because we're all volunteers, every single one of us, except our station manager. And they can come here and get credit for volunteer hours, I believe, doing volunteer work at the radio station.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. That would be great. Yeah. Well, that's another thing. Yes, there is one current employee, and I would hope that there at some point in the future could be at least 2.5 employees. Yeah. So it could be an employment opportunity in addition to being able to mold volunteerism into a future outside this area. But I think if we could build and have 2.5 employees, so to speak. And there's a statement here around the radio that says community radio is not about doing something for the community, but about the community doing something for itself.
Yes, exactly. And those voices that come here are the voices of the community talking back to their fellow members. Hey.
So it's one big circle of connectivity. And there's another term that I used to use in my profession is that you try to build on the tentacles of connectivity. You just keep building avenues like spokes on a wheel. You got the center, and it goes out to the perimeter or to the rim, and it all comes back to the center.
And you never know what's going to happen. I mean, I think Rick Robinson was it was wonderful to think. He's very proud of his program, the Dark Lighter Show.
Yes.
And he feels that, and he's participating. And I think that's a good example of getting every part of the community in here with their voice being heard.
Yes, and it's a win-win. His sponsor is very proud to sponsor him. He's happy to have it, and it's a win-win situation.
Yeah, I have to repeat, though, and emphasize that youth, it may be a little more difficult for them, but I'm really happy with Chad Baker, and I'm hoping that he's talking to his friends and that we can get more of them in here and we can have some fun. The type of thing they can produce could be a lot of fun, could be something for their demographic. And so if you're listening, I know you are, talk to your friends, especially the youth, and tell them about the various opportunities, and that's what they are, at community radio. Now, you talked a little bit about getting a more programming. And you also talked about getting, say, 2.5 people working here. So in order to do some of those things, especially more employees, we need to have a good cash flow, right?
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Cash flow, or let's talk about fundraising or marketing or those things. So what does this radio station have to offer the commercial interests, companies, establishments here in Salmon Arm? What do we have to offer them?
Well, what I used to refer to, it gives them an opportunity for bragging rights.
Ah.
They, at that moment, if they let the word out that they do support community radio here in Salmon Arm or the Sioux Schwab, that they are consciously engaged in participating on this current medium. Because there's so many positive aspects of it, Aaron. I could kind of run through a whole list of things of what they are. Do we have time? I'll show you some of the notes later.
Well, you can certainly.
I mean, when I just think of community engagement, it brings a deeper engagement to the community by the community themselves. It offers knowledge that connects us to others and expands our understanding of the Sioux Schwab and our local world. Encourage volunteerism. That's an important aspect of any small community, is volunteerism, and there's an abundance of it here.
Yes.
I just watched what's happening on the political scene. what I'm seeing now with the support for the Syrian refugee, there's five families that are going to be supported coming up here in the new year.
Yes.
There's a meeting up at the Deal Lutheran Church. I think it's on the 12th, is it?
I'm not sure when exactly,
it's all over. And it's just to recognize of how community can just support. And I think the radio is an integral part of that whole network. And you think of all the other social service organizations that are here in town. Yeah. There's three Rotaries. That's an amazing fact.
Yeah, some of those service clubs might want, I think, in fact, some of them are looking at supporting community radio because it's a you called it a win-win. It definitely, there's some synergy there to be gained, mm-hmm. Because the service clubs obviously are gaining. Are providing some very important service to the mm-hmm. community, and not only do they want some bragging rights, but more than that, they want some media attention, etc., that they can get raise awareness of some of the things that must be done, and they can do that through the radio station. But I like this idea also of proud supporter of community radio or CKVS. You talked about, I think, at one time. We talked about posters in windows of a
stem. Yes, that sort of acknowledgement. Right now, you've got the chamber, you've got Rotary. They all put their identities on door fronts or window fronts. And I think if we had the proud support of the Sushwap radio station or the voice of the Sushwap, excuse me, that would just build on that. The visual aspects of it is the more you see it, the more you're connected to it. So I think that needs to happen as a visual connecting element. There is the part that the community building, community radio supports and raises the profile of clubs, community organizations, local musicians, businesses, artisans, in no other way that other media can. Because you have an insightful connection to it. You know,
one thing that I've almost forgotten is that one of the programs is Artscape with Tracy Kutchker, and I was just reading an article in the paper where she has a letter to the editor concerning I think it was concerning some request that was made for funding by the, and again I have to be careful because I don't remember the exact words, but I want to just deal with this for a moment, the community building aspect of the arts and culture and the effect, the spin-offs, the number of people employed, either full-time or part-time or otherwise dealing with the arts and culture is enormous.
Well, I think Winston Churchill said it the best. Do you remember his quote?
No.
World War II, when they wanted to stop funding the arts organization, he said, "Isn't that why we're fighting a war?" Well, to keep art and cultures available to the public.
Yeah, and that's one. I mean, I know that the commercial radio stations can very easily, they do produce a certain amount of local Canadian content, I'm sure, mm-hmm. but community radio is, that's what it is. It's local content. It's Canadian content.
It's here.
And it's
us.
Here, and it's, and there seems to be a movement these days towards things local. And I want to get back to that local radio, local news,
well,
local...
Call it brain food.
Yeah, exactly. And you're listening to community radio, and I hope you like what you hear. And if you do, great. Send us an email, dj@voiceoftheshuswap.ca, or become a member if you're not a member, or talk to your friends, and give us a thought. Think about community radio and what it can do for the community. And you might just want to get involved with this little radio station. It's sort of like an ongoing, it's a work in progress, and you're invited. So let's get back to this question of raising money, fundraising for this community radio station, and we were talking about loyalty, and I think I read somewhere, and we talked about this, I think, that somewhere in the States they did a study that shows that people, the consumer, when they see that a particular or hear a particular establishment or company or shop that is associated maybe as a sponsor for the radio station, they like that.
It becomes a motivational purchase. I mean, it becomes a motivational force. You know, you see people all the time. I mean, the buzzword organic. The supermarkets are holding it. Ocean-wise, you know, programs that promote sustainable farming, sustainable fishing, and organic. So when you look for community-owned, Selmar. The Selmar, that's the most amazing local entity.
Yeah.
The theater, I mean, to think that we own our theater and the money that it pours back into the community. Now, granted, they are selling tickets to shows, and they are generating, I think it's maybe $2.5 million is what their the amount of money they bring in, and they're just funneling it right back to the community. And I just think that's a wonderful
But that's really important that, you know, the whole idea of...
Well, to me, I call it cycling of funds. It's just one big circle. The money comes out of one's pocket, goes into the other pocket, and that comes out and goes into the other pocket. It just keeps circling within the community. It never leaves the community.
I think
A term for that I forget what it is.
Shopping local, but that money, you're right. I call it a grease that stays in the community, keeps the wheel rolling. Yes. And you know something? I don't think we can talk too much about that aspect. In other words, you can keep on repeating it because I admit for many people, they always say, well, I can't afford to shop locally. I got to go to that big W or whatever. But I think, I don't know, for the vast majority of people, I think shopping local, when they realize what that dollar is doing in the community, it may be paying for some skates, it may be paying for something for the arts community, whatever, all that money stays in the community and circulates.
Yes, and it's an important aspect. I mean, there is all sort of editorials that were coming out, you know, what they call the high cost of cheap prices. You know, and it's true. When you start to factor in, and that's when I had said that to me, the Salmon Arm does have a very, very wonderful community-based department store, and that's just over on the other side of the tracks, the Church's Thrift.
Yeah.
It's an incredibly, wonderfully well-run institution here, and there's just so many aspects about that. But there's, as I said, is just keeping the money in the community, and if you have a choice... Because the biggest strength one has is how and where they spend their money.
Yes. Let your money talk.
Yes, and that's such an important issue. And so Shop Local is an initiative that I participated in.
Yeah. Well, that's a big one, and that's a whole other... I want to do a couple of programs on that. And definitely at Christmas time, there's lots of information out there to tell you or to suggest to you, let's say, that shopping local is really to your advantage.
You and I were just at the wine tasting on Saturday, and I was I went off to tour other ones.
Oh, good.
And I was just watching cases of wine leaving these local vineyards.
Ah!
Which meant, I think that's just a rousing support level, and they were both supported by the cheese and the meats. They're all local people.
Yeah. Terroir cheese was there. Cheese, we went to Marionette on 40th Northeast, mm-hmm. 40th Street Northeast, and they're brand new.
Are these commercial plugs okay?
Oh, sure.
So we had Sato. I saw Victor. He was up at Hazel and Jack's place there at Larch Hills.
Oh.
And then we went to Marionette, and I did go into Enderby to Waterside.
Oh, so, that's another one.
Yeah.
I haven't even heard of that one.
Yeah.
Just a little quick little blurb on local news. I just got this hot off the press on my email. The Shuswap Trails Roundtable builds new relationships. So they had a great big meeting in Enderby. And if you want to find out more about this, about the Shuswap Regional Trails Strategy, it's called, go to the Shuswap Trail Alliance website. And it is at www.shuswaptrailalliance.com. Just one word, ShuswapTrailAlliance.com. And if you want to talk to Phil McIntyre, Paul, he put his number there, so I assume it's out to the public. You can go to his website. He's at Phil@ShuswapTrails.com, and his number is 804-1964. If you want any information about the Shuswap Trail Alliance, I am absolutely blown away by the network of trails in this area. It is phenomenal.
I can't say enough positive things about the Sioux Chalk Trail Alliance and Phil McIntyre Paul. I mean, I just get goosebumps when I think what a gift. That's another gift to this community.
It is.
The whole trail network that's happening, and I've participated. I was going to dedicate 10 meters surrounding my property in North Broadview so that you could leave Canoe Beach and walk all the way to downtown on nature trails.
Wow.
Yes.
That would be great.
Oh, yes.
That's the kind of thing that really, look at the time just flying by. Let's talk just for a moment about listeners. You know, every time somebody talks to me about commercial radio is selling ears to the advertisers. Ears to the advertisers.
Yes,
and it's like television is selling eyes to the advertiser, you know, to the whoever's advertising, a pair of eyes watching their commercial.
Oh, no.
So because I took the radio broadcasting course at BCIT way back, I don't want to tell you how long ago, but anyway, I do recall we argued about this. I mean, it wasn't just me, but I argued with the instructor about how you measure listenership.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So some commercial radio stations will say, oh, yeah, we got 15,000 listeners. What does that mean? First of all, they measure it in 15-minute segments, at least they used to.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how people listen to radio. They hit the button or hit a, you know, either seek or what's the other one? And they look for a radio station, and if they like what they hear, they might listen to one song or they might keep listening.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's in little segments.
Yeah, yeah. That's an industry I can't really speak to, but again, I'll bring back the importance of it's not about the listeners that any business person wants to be able to justify their commercial, their expenses, their advertising promotional budgets.
Exactly.
And in order to justify it, you have to consciously say, okay, I'm going to put X amount of dollars on the table to buy airtime. And if it's community radio and I don't feel that it's reaching a large enough audience to justify my cost, and then that's when I say to them, it's not necessarily about buying ears. It's about participating in the local community radio station and supporting it, because at some point in the future it'll come through in a resounding voice that it's important. For instance, if we get into the crisis communications, which is something very important. And if we get someone coming through here, a graduate who comes in here, gets their training and learning, and goes on to become a productive member of the broadcast industry, that's our contribution.
Exactly.
You know, we built a person. We built some character in the youth, and they graduated on and become a productive individual in this world.
You'll never know what your contribution, donation, membership, whatever it be, you'll never know actually sometimes what might come back for you to stand proudly and say, I am a member of the Voice of the Shuswap Broadcast Society, and yes, I'm proud of that radio station, and I'm proud of, well, Dylan Dodge. I wouldn't be surprised if his name comes up pretty soon, maybe working for Sportsnet or something.
Sure.
You know?
And he can share that positive experience he had here. It set him on a course.
Exactly. And I think that that's the youth, and I'd love to think that more of them have that in mind and want to come and work here. But getting back to businesses, we've just got about a minute or two left. You talked about their supporting community radio for, it's not necessarily just the ears, because when they ask how many listeners we have, Dan White, our tech, at one time when we had some problems, and he could see how many people were listening online because we had some antenna problems every week, and the extrapolating from that, and that's a word we use a lot,
mm-hmm,
we figured we have at any one time probably hundreds of listeners. We don't know how many because you never know.
Yeah.
There's no other than online they can measure usually the hits or who is actually listening, but we figure we have hundreds now. And I want to get back to what you said and ask you about that, this loyalty to a community radio station. And you mentioned a couple of things. How about some of the other things that the business would benefit from?
Well, when anyone is making a purchase, they often check three or four references. And they want to be able to justify what they're doing. So if it becomes a qualifying connection, for instance, they support the radio station. great, okay, they've done this. They've given money to Rotary. They've done this. You saw them buy a major auction item at the Rotary. So you recognize that they're a major contributor to the community, and that's what we want to do. Same thing with the Trail Alliance. I mean, right now I've watched the Trail Alliance and Rotary, both big players in raising money and collecting contributions to their social organization, to their social network. And I would love to see the radio station be a major player in that respect.
So would I. But I just want to mention one last thing that Warren, I think, touched on, and that is the low cost of supporting community radio. We're not talking thousands of dollars. Even I won't give you the exact amount that one of our sponsors, but it's closer to about $100 a month. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you. Goodbye.